And still talking technology, it's the holy grail of marketing. A 30-second YouTube clip that goes viral. Millions of hits in a matter of hours, hundreds of millions of hits in a matter of days. That's what Old Spice pulled off with a black man on a white horse.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me.
I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love.
Look again. The tickets are now diamonds. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
I have to say, it got me in. That clip was so popular, in fact, it notched up over 150 million hits on YouTube, and the fellow in the ad even toured Australia. So what is the secret to a successful viral video clip, even one posted by a big brand? Researchers at the University of Melbourne have identified a formula to understand why some clips succeed. In a study of more than 130 YouTube movies created by some of the biggest brands, researchers identified patterns which form the basis of a branded viral movie predictor algorithm. What's this, you ask? Well, Dr. Brent Coker is an internet consumer psychologist at the University of Melbourne. Brent, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
I'm tempted to ask you, what is a branded viral movie predictor algorithm? But there are four elements that make up this algorithm or that mean a clip go viral. What are they?
So the first one, which is quite important, is the amount of emotion that it sort of evokes from people. So it's got to have either some sort of cringe factor, or it's got to be laugh out loud, funny. It can't just be humorous. It's got to be hilarious. And a whole range of emotions. Nostalgia is another one. Any of these emotions that's really strong, that's in the viral movie, that's one of the elements.
So if we take the Old Spice ad there, what would that be in your view?
Well, that's an interesting one. You see, if I was a female, I would guess that this man was quite attractive, and that was one of the things. But it was also very clever in the way that it moved along very quickly. It told a mini story,
mm-hmm.
and they did some other things as well on the side, like they were getting people to tweet in their names, and then they were making custom versions of it, you know, including
their names.
It was
hilarious too, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first element.
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple more. Another one is where these movies are what we call seeded, where they start off. So YouTube is a popular place to seed it, but it has to really kick off to get going to begin with, and so it appeals to a certain demographic. Like for example, university students. Universities are a great place to start viral movies, we've found, because students are so close to each other, and they're similar, and then the way that they behave, and there's similar values and so forth, and so those spread quite well. And so Facebook is probably a good example of that. I mean, that could be considered a viral tool, you know, and it started off in the universities for some of the similar reasons. And the second one is...
The third one we're up to?
Oh, sorry. The third one is the what we call the paired meme... congruency, which is a little bit complex, difficult to explain, actually, but it's kind of like we're attracted. If you attach a brand to one of these virals, then if that brand is what we say congruent with the person who uses the brand, you may use an example. So Harley Davidson, for example, that is an extremely powerful brand in the world. It's so powerful, in fact, that people tattoo that brand on their body. And so the reason why that brand is so powerful is because it matches the target customer's lifestyle very, very closely. Mm-hmm. And Apple is another one. I mean, it's very difficult to find a PC in the lecture theatres nowadays. Every student's got an Apple computer, and because the Apple personality matches the student personality. So that's the other element, and it's probably the most complex one. But I guess the fourth one is the one that we're most interested in, is that each of these viral movies, this is where the patterns come into it, seems to share certain elements, and we call them memes. So, and these memes, when paired in a certain way, sort of predict the success of the viral movie.
What do you mean? Give us an example of what you mean there.
So, for example, one of them is called impromptu. So that's the flash mob dance. You know, you've probably seen these virals where people start dancing in a train station. You know, this idea of something just happening, you know, impromptu. But that in it, on itself is not enough to create a successful viral movie. It has to be paired with one of these other ones, such as extreme entertainment. So it can't just be people doing crazy things. There has to be a some sort of dance or music behind it.
So, Brent, everything you've just told us, I mean, in a sense, aren't they basic elements of marketing know-how?
They are. Well, yeah, the good point, because that's the motives behind this research is that what we noticed in an earlier study was that traditional marketing isn't working as well as what it used to, because consumers nowadays, before they want to buy anything, they go online and they read about what other people are saying about that product. And so corporations are telling these consumers, we're number one, our product is the best, and consumers are becoming increasingly jaded of that. And so marketers have been forced into the situation of developing more and more sophisticated ways of getting the consumer to buy. So that's where this started.
So it stretched the creative brains, in the sense of the big brand marketers.
Absolutely, and they're using, and oftentimes some of the recent ones I've been looking at are where it's very difficult to know that it's actually sponsored by a corporation. So we call this pull marketing now. So it draws the consumer in to find out more about the brand on their own, under their own volition. To use an example, a really clever technique that was developed just a few years ago, which has been copied quite a few times since. So there's some young kids walking along the street in London. One of them scales the fence, they've got their hoodies up, runs over to the Buckingham Palace, spray paints something on the side of the Buckingham Palace, then runs back over the fence and they run away. And it's all taken on a shaky iPhone type movie sort of mode. And so on the face of it, people are spreading this, thinking, my God, look where these kids have done. But looking at the movie more closely, they think, well, hang on, what did they spray paint on the palace? So they can zoom in, and then they read what was written on the palace. In this case, it was The Whackness, which was a movie. And then that motivates the consumer to do a Google search for The Whackness, and they eventually arrive at The Whackness website, which was a movie and production and merchandise website.
I imagine you have to be pretty careful about doing that, because it could easily backfire. Brent, we're almost out of time, but I'm just wondering if you can give us an example of maybe a big brand that's gone through all this, tried to do it, the viral campaign, but it's had an utter failure.
But it's had a failure?
Yes, it's failed.
A big brand? Okay. I looked at one yesterday. They're not a big brand, though.
Well, just one that's failed, that's had a go and failed.
Well, okay, there was one yesterday. A woman from a marketing agency contacted me. She said, Brent, I heard you know something about this. We just spent thousands of dollars on this production. Can you have a look at it? We've actually been pulled off because it was too risque, but we want to know if it's going to work once we adjust it. So what it was using sexual innuendo. So it was an underwear, a major underwear company in Australia, using sexual innuendo, and it was a clever story where you take a photo of your face to begin with, and then later on you see that your face is in this magazine, which this woman is using. And my first reaction was, well, that unfortunately that won't work, because sex doesn't sell when it comes to viral. Anything sexual will hardly ever go viral. It's very unusual for that to happen. And that was the only theme. It wasn't paired with anything else, although it was very clever and very expensive. Unfortunately, in this situation, sex increasingly doesn't sell.
Why doesn't sex sell in a viral campaign?
Why doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the normal thinking would be sex sells.
Yeah, that's right. In traditional advertising, it used to sort of have some effect, but I mean, I guess a large part of the internet is you know, about, believe it or not, you know, still nowadays pornography is a big part of the internet, but people feel a little uncomfortable about sharing it. You see, that's what viral is all about. It needs to be able to be shared, and shared very quickly.
Oh,
so
I see.
We're not necessarily going to share it with everyone we know.
Okay, well, we'll all be standing by, Brent, for your ad, because I understand you're going to try and make a clip with all these elements of your algorithm in it, and we'll see how that goes. Brent, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Brent Coker is an internet consumer psychologist based at the University of Melbourne's Faculty of Business and Economics, with some insights there into the successful viral clips. He didn't mention all those cootsie-wootsie ones, all the ones with little pussycats. They seem to be incredibly successful.